Rauschen, die Radiosendung von Mur.at.
Hello and welcome to Netzrauschen, the broadcast from Mur.at, where we cover topics related to digital society, media art and net politics. In this edition with me, Andreas Zingerle, I talk to Clementina Lee, who is doing a virtual residency on the Mur.at servers and was participating in the WorkLab program Unsustainable. We broadcast Tuesdays every 4 weeks from 10 to 10:30 here on Radio Helsinki. All informations regarding the broadcasts and further links to our guests you can find as usual on helsinki.at. Past episodes become part of the growing podcast archive that you can download at netzrauschen.mur.at. Let's get right into it. Clementina studied stage and costume design and art education at the National Academy of Art in Sofia, interface cultures at the Kunst University in Linz, and she is now in the final steps of finishing experimental game cultures at the University of Applied Arts in Vienna. As part of the Unsustainable yearly program of Mur.at, she has been working on an interactive film called Beyond the Click and have done several other works and research called Data Bodies and Skins 2. Hello Clementina, and can you give an overview of your work Beyond the Click, but also maybe we can talk a bit about Data Bodies and Skins 2? How they informed each other and the creation of your work.
Hello, Andreas. Thank you for the nice introduction. Yes, I would like to share more. So Beyond the Click is actually a whole big research containing several parts. And it begins kind of the first form of the research is called Data Bodies, which was a work inspired by my work with Cyber Festival, which is a media art festival in Vienna, where I had the opportunity to co-curate the discourse program and as well work as a tour guided exhibition. And after multiple talks with participants at the exhibition and artists, at the festival, I was very interested into going further within the topic of data bodies. And what that actually means is bringing some sort of awareness and conversation within also many people who are not necessarily in the media art field about the fact that daily we are like sharing our bodies of data, and as much as we have the need to care about our physical bodies, we should also take care of our bodies of data and how to protect them, how to be aware of actually what they are, where to find them, and to see further how different systems are identifying us based on that. After that, I went a step further within the project Skins 2, which refers again slightly on the topic of body, but this time, instead of data and information, discusses the topic of how do we present ourselves aesthetically, visually, within the virtual realm, and what that this means. since you can be anybody or anything per se, what are the, let's say, frameworks within which we are falling into consciously or not. And Skins is exploring the topic of prejudice and consciousness that comes from AI systems and goes further within the discussion of what it means to have a skin in the virtual, but also what it means to have gender or class, and how can we go beyond classification? And here you can see how these kind of two projects of data bodies and skins intertwine. With first, we talk about the information that is constantly like taken like from us, and then how this data is used to identify us, and like the question comes of like who decides who you are within the digital. Therefore, the wholesome project of Beyond the Click, it's referring to this act of bringing awareness and considering every action and every click we do within works that are rather more poetical, not necessarily like trying to simplify, trying to maybe even connect on an emotional level rather than logical.
So we all know this hyper-curated and produced Instagram accounts. How is it in the virtual realm? Do you see that people also try to mimic themselves or recreate themselves in a virtual way? Or is it more abstract or more gender neutral in a way?
I think that there is two things I want in different directions. First, on the topic of like social media, Instagram, TikTok, whatsoever, the tendency that is ongoing since decades is you see how there is one really nice text from called From My to Me, and is exploring this tendency how in the 90s, for example, everybody did their own web page, and it was like, this is MySpace, and also like even the platform MySpace, but this was always about space that somebody goes into. And afterwards, after honestly beginning of the Facebook era, it became a me. I'm representing me, and this is some sort of rebranding of ourselves and becoming more of a product within the already established interfaces of those social media magnets. On the other hand, I think it's very interesting to see also through media theory how things are changing. Because if we think about like Dora Haraway and cyber feminism, there is this kind of idealistic culture of, oh wow, this is the virtual, and you don't have to be one thing. You can be a queer, or you can be multiple faced. And then after 30 years later, we see how much this agency did not necessarily happen. And there's still a lot of discrimination happening on in the background within algorithmic systems. And then I also want to give a reference to the book Glitch Bodies from Legacy Russell, where she goes to another approach of like, okay, if a person who does not fit to any of these already pre-established categories, then we're the glitch. So let's destroy the system through glitch. So you can see how the approach is very different. But I think definitely there's the power of the digital giving you the possibility to be maybe completely anonymous, and the possibility to visually express some elements who you cannot, which you cannot do in the physical, but they also like intertwine. I like to refer to this space as phygital, so something in between, because it's constantly connected and you cannot take them away from each other.
How do you think that the excessive use of AI and of AI models in chatbots, for example, or also like in virtual assistants, will affect this definition of data bodies in a way? When you are not sure anymore as a user if you are interacting with a machine or with a human, or maybe it's a hybrid that a bunch of people are administrating or operating this AI system and constantly improving it and making it better, so that you are maybe not aware anymore if you are talking to a human or to a just constantly improving AI system. How would this then define the gender and race and representation? What are your thoughts?
So while you were asking this question, something came to my mind, which I had actually never thought before. And it's as for example, if you're having a chat with some sort of a bot, do you as a person consider what is the gender of this chatbot AI you're talking with? Because that's actually more interesting for me at the moment. And there is this some sort of even fetishization of personal assistants such as Siri or Alexa, that we are giving them names. So there is even a human tendency to go towards this prejudice or this bias, consciously or not. But what interests me more is how in future systems such as AIs could be designed differently without the mere purpose of classification of this information? Or what would change if just one of those categories is taken? How this is influencing the outcome? Because if we think about, like, why is that needed? Like, why do we need to be classified as a user? At the end, it comes, I mean, not always, not necessarily, but a big part of this comes on the, like, on the purpose of, mere purpose of profit and advertisement. And of course, optimization of these systems could potentially happen without those systems knowing your gender or race or class. But by knowing that, they can eventually sell you a product better. And I think this is where, like, the whole problem begin with.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I found it very interesting to read about how these chatbots are classifying you. So they are already checking your internet connection or if you are logging in from a mobile phone or from a desktop computer. So this already gives you a certain classification if you can write a proper English or if you make a lot of spelling mistakes. These are becomes a part of your profile in a way, and this is besides your credit score or in which area you're logging in from. So, but of course, all these different data points are a certain information. What I found very interesting as part of your artistic research also is that you are ready to open up your process, and also you talked about your background and your ideas and different tracks that you went during the work lab. But you also did a workshop with the participants of it was called Digital Humanism in Building Interfaces for the Future. And I still remember we were sitting outside in the sun of the KIK building here in Graz. What do you still remember from this workshop? Can you give us some details? Maybe also about the methods that you were using? We can then talk about the outcome also, maybe.
The workshop which I did was kind of even just one part of everything that I had for the day, but I really enjoyed the process of just sitting there and brainstorming and fantasizing for possible solutions. Therefore, I decided to focus more on that. Just for the listeners, I want to explain a little bit what I mean by data humanism in building interfaces of the future. The whole idea of kind of redefine digital terms and go through metaphors that we're using on an everyday basis. And the outcome of this process kind of would aim to motivate a different way of thinking and to envision some sort of models to design interfaces or devices or even just methodologies beyond the corporate standards. The main methodology is to separate on groups the idea of, like, you have a metaphor, you have an idea, and you have an error. And we usually always start from the error to try to find a solution for certain problems. And then to also figure out why this error is repeatedly there. And is this on purpose? Is this a design that purposely make us convenient and take certain information from us, or is this something that could be made and optimized and be better for humans instead of, I prefer to use the word humans instead of users, because this is also something that, like, when you start to think of yourself as a user and only as such, then then we talk for different sort of digital politics per se. This whole process of this workshop is kind of motivating to think of some sort of digital human rights and what do we need to establish, because there is so many overlooks of the rights we have in the virtual space just because legislations simply don't exist. And the desired outcome for the workshop was, after coming up with these problems, errors, and possible solution, collectively as a group, to create a couple of news, like digital human rights that we further on could think within our scope of a physical realm. How can we propose this, make a questionnaire, bring it to the public, or go to the government and ask for that? So this is kind of this process of from just talking and brainstorming, what are the next steps of actions that could be done?
You were talking about the map of frustration and convenience, and also the creation of this map of solutions, or also like solutions that are already there, or also kind of dreaming up impossibilities that are maybe not possible to realize, but would be great to have in the future. I think it was a really good step into the conversation to ask questions about relationships with the virtual. How do we feel when we are in these spaces? Or also, what are the common frustrations that we have when we use different interfaces and digital devices? I thought that this was a good starting point to get going in a way. One last question to you would be to our listeners. Maybe you can give some exercise tips or that they can start the thinking process for themselves or in a group to have conversations about this. What would be a good starting point in a way?
Yes, I would like to give more sort of a thinking exercise rather than a step-by-step solution. Let's imagine this as a form of hacking in your head certain systems that you get frustrated with on a daily basis. And as an example, the moment when some sort of an error or a failure occur that it's really bothering, let this be an opener of a further solution of, okay, let's observe this and see what is the motivation of this error. Why does this begin in the first place? And then this leads us to figure out what are the kind of, how is the system designed and what are the limitations of those systems? And in this case, I start thinking of sort of metaphor of something that could be combined. And in a sense of combinations of things that are, I think the best way to explain this is actually with an example of some sort of a frustration I had in the past. When I started using computers on a more regular basis and most of my work began to be just based on sitting in a laptop, I was incredibly frustrated with the fact that I did not felt good with using my body and that I was always stiff or not physically tired. And then I thought, how can I hack the system? How can I change the model of my computer without necessarily designing a new computer? sometimes I do that. And then I thought, okay, what is something that is moving or changing every day, which is my cursor? And I thought, okay, what if this kilometers I'm every day spending in the virtual can be translated into kilometers in the physical space? And therefore, I designed that my cursor move, my mouse track, is connected to my bicycle. And in this case, this is an example of just some sort of hacking that you don't necessarily want, but how can we imagine models that are so well established within different mechanisms, and how this is gonna kind of like change their behavior or our personal behavior? And I think there is nothing more important in this case of just observation. Everything we're using and why is designed this way, in order to stay aware of how possibly you are manipulated.
That was another episode of Netzrauschen, a broadcast by Mur.at on this year's program. Today, I talked with Clementina Lee about her artistic research project, Beyond the Click. All links you can find in the program information on helsinki.at. You can listen to past episodes on our program on netzrauschen.mur.at and in the cultural broadcast archive at cba.fro.at. Andreas says goodbye, and we'll hear each other next time.